Okay, we begin here on the top of Tarikh Hey Amud Aleph, 7 lines down. Ibayluhu, lechem apanim nifsal b'masaot, oinu nifsal b'masaot. The lechem apanim, does it become pasul when they travel in the midbar, or does it remain intact when they travel in the midbar? Of course, underlying the question is that obviously there was lechem apanim in the midbar. Not so surprising given that the Mishkan was there and we have the Shulchan, which requires lechem apanim on it. But the Gemara, assuming that there is lechem apanim in the Mishkan, wants to know what happens every time they disassemble the Mishkan and start to travel, what happens to the lechem apanim? Because lechem apanim sit on the Shulchan from week to week. They're taken off on Shabbat and put on Shabbat. But they are all week. It's not one of these items where there's a short duration to it. It has a long duration. And in all likelihood, it bumped into this problem that when they were traveling, what happens to the lechem apanim? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Chadamar nifsal. One of them says it is nifsal is problematic. The Chadamar inu nifsal. It's not pasul. Madamar nifsal. The one who says that it is pasul dichtiv, because it says kasher yachanu teini so. The way that they encamped is the way that they traveled. Ma bichaniyato nifsal biyotze. Just like when they encamp, it is pasul biyotze. Af nisiyato nifsal biyotze. So too, when they travel, it's also pasul biyotzei. The lechem apanim must remain inside the azara. They're only eaten by the kohanim inside the azara. They have a limited scope of where they can go. If they're taken out of that area, they become pasul. And certainly when you dismantle the mishkan and you begin to travel, you're no longer within the klaim of the azara or the klaim of the mishkan. And therefore they should be pasul biyotzei. Mandamar enu nifsal, the one who says that it's not pasul dichtiv, lechem hatamid alav yiyeh. The lechem hapanim will permanently, consistently be on there. And the way Rashi translates that is, alma b'kedushatei kai. It retains its kedusha. By the fact that it says that when they travel and they pack up the shulchan, that the lechem hatamid alav yiyeh will still be upon it, that implies that the lechem hapanim is still kadosh and still intact when they are traveling and they're moving with the shulchan. V'idach dami aktiv kasher yachanu ken yisau. What about the fact that there's this parallel between the chanaya, the encampment, and the traveling? It says l'idach yisau. You just learned it the other way around. Ma b'chanayato ki lo yatsa mimkomo lo mitzau. When they're encamped, as long as it hasn't left its place, it's not pasul. Af v'nisiyato. When it doesn't leave its place, then it doesn't come pasul. Just like when they're encamped, if it's on the shulchan, it's fine. So to over here, if it remains on the shulchan when they are moving, it's going to be fine. And for the other mandamar who says it's pasul, what does he do with the pasuk? That the lechem apanim will remain on the shulchan even when they are traveling. Ella, so the Gemara doesn't say anything. Obviously, it's hugely problematic for that opinion that it is pasul, because from the psukim, it makes it sound like they pack it up. They leave the lechem apanim on the shulchan, even when they're traveling. That would seem to indicate that they're fine. Ella ki'ata Rav Dimi. So here you have a machloka between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and that's in Eretz Yisrael. Here at Bavel, they're trying to figure out the nature of this machloket. And we have Rav Dimi, who's traveling back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and many times brings a memrot of Rabbi Yochanan, or especially Rabbi Yochanan, who's the Mor Da'atra in Eretz Yisrael, has significant influence in Eretz Yisrael. Says Kiyata Rav Dimi Amar, Bimisudar, when they are organized, Tukuli Amalo Plige, nobody argues there. Ela Ki Plige, where they do argue is, Bimisulak, when they are taken off. So now, Rashi over here explains that what does it mean, bimisudar? Bimisudar means misudar ala shulchan. As long as they're still on the shulchan, nobody disagrees that they are kshirim. That's based on the pasuk from when they travel. V'lechem atamid alav yiyeh. That everybody agrees to. Where do they argue? It is according to Rashi, bimisulak. Shadayin lo igia zman lasalek et zeh ad shenasu. The time period for it to be removed only happened when they were about to travel. But it's now still inside of Machane Leviim. They're taking it along with them with the Mishkan. So now, the way that the Shita Mekubetzet explains Rashi's Shita over here in Ot Chet and Tet is Shenasu Kulei Amah Lo Plegei Shisilkuhu B'Shabbat. They took it off when they were supposed to, on Shabbat. V'Sidro Acher, and then they put the new ones on. V'Lo Yispiku Le'achol Otam Ad Shenasu. And then they were not successful at eating them or taking care of them before they had to travel. Now that's interesting because we know that they didn't travel on Shabbat. So Tosafot already mentions that. He says, it's clear that on Shabbat they were not traveling because even if you believe there are no tchumim midoraita, still they're not going to have them travel with problems of potza'ah and also Yisr Mechamer, other types of problems that you're going to run into in traveling, they were having the machaneh travel on Shabbat. The problem with this Shita and Rashi is that you always had time to eat it because it was Shabbat. And on Shabbat they didn't travel, they had a chance to eat it. So you could just claim they didn't finish eating it and they had it on Motzei Shabbat and ended up traveling on Motzei Shabbat. Or the Shita Megubetz and Ohn Aleph suggests that it was Shabbat Yom HaKippurim when they couldn't eat it on Shabbat and therefore they only could eat it on Motzei Shabbat. And then on Motzei Shabbat they began to travel and that's how the issue came about. Manda Amar Nifsal, the one who says it's pasul dechtiv kasher yachanu ken iso. Ma bechaniyato nifsal biyotzei. Just like when they were encamped, if they were supposed to be eating the lechem apanim, it was already off the shulchan. If it leaves the azarar, leaves the klayei mishkan, it's pasul. Af benesiyato nifsal biyotzei. Just like similarly, when they start to travel, there's no longer an azarah, there's no longer an inside of the mishkan. So therefore they are pasul biyotzei. Lamada mar enu nifsal, according to when it says, not pasul dechtiv, venasa ol moed. The ol moed travels. Even when it's traveling, it's called the Ol Moed. So the Ol Moed is still in existence even when they are traveling. Even though it's not really physically in existence, it still theoretically exists in terms of the Ol Moed. So then the one who says it's not pasul, what's he going to do with the parallel between Chanaya and Nisya? Vidach Kisa, similar to what we said before. Just like when you're encamped, if you don't take it out, it's not pasul. When you don't take it out, it's also not pasul. What about the fact that it says that the omoed is traveling, which makes it sound like it's still the omoed? How will the dgalim hu da'ata? That's coming to tell you how they traveled based on their encampment. Whether that means they're 2 days old, the Tanaim, as to whether they traveled in the way that they were encamped, literally, and that they traveled in that manner, or in the order that they traveled, meaning that how they broke down the machanot, so that just tells you when the Ol Moed moves, along with the other machanot. Beidach, the other party who uses that to tell you that the Ol Moed is still in existence, how does he know about the Masa'ot? Machaneh ha-Leviim b'tocha machanot in Afka. It says there that the Machaneh ha-Leviyah will be amongst the other machanot. So it's telling you where they're going to travel or how they're going to travel. And therefore you don't need v'nasa o moed. In Od Bet, in the Shita Mekubetzet, he asks a question that jumps off the page over here, which is that there is a distinction here that is very clear, but the Gemara seems to wash away. Which is that even if you want to say that v'nasa o moed, that there's still an o moed, or an existence of o moed, as we noted before, there's no physical o moed left. So then it's a virtual Ol Moed. That virtual Ol Moed doesn't really mean there's an Ol Moed. It means that there's a Machaneh Leviyah that still exists. Now, if the Machaneh Leviyah still exists, why does that help you? If we just think about the Beit HaMikdash, in the Beit HaMikdash you have Yerushalayim, you have Har HaBayit, and then you have the Azara. That equates to what we have in the Mishkan, which is Machaneh Yisrael is the equivalent of Yerushalayim, Machaneh Leviyah is the equivalent of Har HaBayit, and Machaneh Shekhinah is the equivalent of the Azara. The problem here is that the only thing that exists once they're traveling is Machaneh Leviyah. And so what their Gemara is seeming to say is, oh, even though it's in Machaneh Leviyah, it's fine. But Machaneh Leviyah is no good for the Lechem Apanim. Lechem Apanim are only allowed to be eaten inside the Chatzer Ol Moed, or in the time of Mikdash, it means inside the Azara. Then why does the existence of a Machaneh Leviyah and an Ol Moed help you in this case? And that's what the Shita Mekubetzet asks in Obet, Bikasha, the Ma Yeshon Lidmot Azara, the Machaneh Leviyah. What does the Azara and Machaneh Leviyah have to do with anything here? V'nira dehachi perusho. This is how you need to explain the Gemara. Af nisiyato. Even when they're traveling, lo mepik mimachane levia lo mifsal. When it doesn't leave machane levia, it's fine. The machane levia ikre omoed b'shat masa. Omoed expands to include a larger area when they travel. Normally, omoed is just a chatzar omoed, that is inside the klei amishkan or inside the azara. But when they travel, since they break down the klaim, but the omoed is traveling with them and it calls it omoed, that means now that the area, the scope of omoed is expanded to include the machane levia. Tichtiv, benasa omoed, machane levim. The omoed is traveling in the machane levia, which is telling you that the machane levia now is equated with omoed. Alma, the koroi omoed, the fish omoed betocho. Because the omoed exists in the machane levia during the nisiot, it now converts machane levia into omoed. Obviously that has huge ramifications, as we're going to see in 1 second. But you have here the possibility that it be kasher when you're traveling, because the omoed has expanded its scope, and if you keep it within machane levia, then it should be fine. That would be the machloket. Now, according to the way Rashi is reading it, is that when it is misudar al shulchan, when it's still on the shulchan, everybody agrees that it's fine. B'misulak, which means that you've already come to the expiry of the lechem apanim on the shulchan, you've removed them from the shulchan. Now it's a question about eating them. Now, obviously, when you're taking them off, it is Shabbat, and that means that they're not traveling. And that means the only option would be if they traveled that night on Motzei Shabbat. That's the way Rashi is explaining it. And then in addition, even when they're traveling and we say that it's fine, that's because Omoed has expanded its scope to include the Machane Livya. Interesting enough, the Rabbeinu Gershom has a slightly different explanation of Misudar and Misulak. And that is, he says over here, Ki plige b'misulak, im salkua min ha-shulchan b'shat nisi'a. They took it off the shulchan while they were traveling. V'karchu b'beged techelet. And then they wrapped it up in the beged techelet, she'alav, which is what covers the shulchan, or b'parochet v'olichu, and in the parochet that covers it, and then they started to move. Afagav shenasa, even though they are traveling, kevin da'adayin hu karuch ben ha'parochet, since it's still wrapped up with the parochet, omoedu, v'lo mifsal b'yotze, and it's not considered to be yotze. So the Rabbeinu Gershom has a very different view as to what Misudar and Misulak is. Misudar is that the lechem remained on the shulchan while they were traveling. That's the same as Rashi. Remains on the shulchan while they're traveling, there's no issue. But instead of the Misulak, like Rashi, which is that they finished the time period in which it needed to be on the shulchan and they removed it, he says Misulak is that when they went to travel, they pulled it off the shulchan. Instead of leaving it on the shulchan, they took it off the shulchan. But they didn't exactly take it off the shulchan and just walk with it or put it away, but rather they traveled with it basically the same way that the kelim were prepped for traveling. And that is from the pasuk that we said before, and by Midbar Dalet, it's describing how the kohanim put together all the kelim before the levim come to carry them when they are traveling. And so there we quoted the pasuk with regards to omoed, similarly when they packed up the shulchan. Says, Va'al shulchan apanim, yifrisu beget techelet. They wrap it up in a beget techelet. V'natnu alav et karot, v'et kapot, v'en ha-makiyot, v'et ksot ha-nasech. All the kelim of the shulchan are placed on it. V'lechem ha-tamid alav yeh, which is exactly what we described. U'parsu alehem beget tolat sheni. Then you put another beget on top of tolat sheni. V'kisu oto, v'mekseh o'tachash, v'samu et badav. And same thing with regards to the Aron. The Aron, it says, when you take down the Aron, Uba Aron, Uba Nav, B'nunso HaMachaneh, B'ridu et HaParochet HaMasach, the parochet between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodeshim, B'chisi Uba et Aron HaEidut, and then they cover up the Aron. B'natnu Alav Kiso Yorach Tachash, V'arsu Beget Klil Techelet Mi'amalo V'samu Badav. So again, you have them being wrapped up. So what the Rabbeinu Gershom says over here is, they're wrapping up the breads along with the other items to move them, which is that they took them off when they were going, kachu bebeget chelet, the beget chelet that's on top of the shulchan, uba parochet, and the parochet was covering the aron, beolichu, and then they traveled with it. So that's where their machloket exists, is if they took it off. Not when it was supposed to be taken off. They took it off in order to travel. But they packed it like the normal way they would travel with everything else. Question is, what's the status when they travel like that? Rabbeinu Gershom has a clearly different view as to what misulak is over here. And again, he avoids the whole problem that Rashi is introducing, which is the problem of when were they exactly traveling. Rabbeinu Gershom has come up any time you travel. It's not when the lechem needs to be taken off the shulchan. It was simply that they were traveling, they packed up the lechem. And the question is, what's the status of the packed up lechem when you are moving? And does it keep or retain the status of Ol Moed because it's wrapped up and it's still called Ol Moed when it's moving? So therefore, when it's wrapped up in the parochet of the Aron, or it's wrapped up in the Beged Chelet of the Shulchan, does that make it as if it's still within the confines of the Ol Moed? So those are the two ways to learn it. But now the Gemara says, Beitavei, B'shat Siluk Masa'ot, the time period when the Masa'ot moved, Kodshim Nifsalim B'yotzei. Kodshim are now Pasul B'yotzei. The word B'yotzei does not appear in Zvachim when they bring this Gemara. It just says, Kodshim Nifsalim. V'zavin u'mitzoraim mishtalchim chutz l'mitzchitzatan. But zavim mitzorim are still sent out of their mechitza. So now you have two dinim over here. One is that the siluk masa'ot tells you that kodshim nifsalim. Something falls apart here and says that any kodshim that are around are now pasul. On the other hand, there's a certain amount of kedusha that is maintained because zavim and mitzoraim aren't allowed to travel within the machaneh. So if you remember, in terms of shiluach machanot, that a tamei mate cannot be inside of the machane shechina. That means he can't be inside the azara or in the machane shechina. He's allowed to be in machane levia. That's learned from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had atzmot Yosef imo with him in machane levia. He had a mate with him in machane levia. So that's an indication. If the mate can be there, kal v'chomer le tamei mate, even though Tosafot on Amud Bet wants to challenge that concept a little bit. But nevertheless, that is the record, that is the source for the fact that Tamei Meit can go to Machane Leviyah. A Zav is allowed to be in Machane Yisrael, not allowed to be in Machane Shechina, not allowed to be in Machane Leviyah. A Mitzora cannot be in any of the Machanot. That's Mechutz the Machanot. That's Mechutz the Ir, if it's a walled city, or in the Machane Yisrael, it's Mechutz the Machanot. So what we're saying over here is that the Machane Shechina breaks down. That's basically what happens. That's why the Kodoshim are Nifsalim. On the other hand, Zavim and Mitzoraim are sent out, implying that Machane Leviyah and Machane Yisrael still exist, and therefore they have to leave those areas. My love, what would you conclude from here? If it says Kodoshim Nifsalim, then you would say Afilu Lechem Apanim. Lechem Apanim is no different than any of the other Kodoshim that are there, and they should have the same din. Lo, Bar Mi Lechem Apanim. It's except for the Lechem Apanim. Manafshach. Well, please explain to me then how you're learning this. E o moed dafkahu. Then, if you say v'nasa o moed means literally that the o moed is still intact, afilu kodoshim nami. Then other kodoshim also should be fine, just like the lechem apanim is fine. If you consider it o moed for the lechem apanim, it should be considered o moed for kodoshim as well. E o moed lav dafkahu. If you tell me that when it says nasa o moed, it doesn't mean literally there's an o moed. It means that the o moed has some semblance left to it, but it's not really there. Then afilu lechem apanim nami should be problematic. If kodoshim are problematic, then lechem apanim should be problematic. So therefore, we now reject that explanation of Rav Dimi, because that explanation fails to explain, again, the machloket, because on the tzad that we say when they travel, it's still kasher, it's very problematic. You're telling me that if it's kasher when they travel, then why are other kodoshim psulim? It's one thing if you told me other kodoshim were fine, then lechem apanim would be the same as them. But how can there be a differentiation between Lechem Apanim and other Kodoshim? They both have the same demand, which is Ol Moed. And that demand for Ol Moed makes it that either it works or it doesn't work. You can't have one work and not one the other one not work. And therefore, the Gemara here rejects that explanation. And then we have Elakiyata Rabin. Rabin's another one of the Amoraim who's traveling between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. And Rabin, again, also brings many memrot of Rabbi Yochanan. Many times in Shas, you'll find Rav Dimi and Rabin arguing about exactly what Rav Yochanan said, or what the explanation of what Rav Yochanan said, and here, again, they're trying to explain this machloket from Eretz Yisrael. Ela, kiata Rabin, Amar, when Rabin came, he said, this is the explanation of Rav Yochanan, Rav Shlomo Levi. Mar Amar b'misudar, Mar Amar b'sulak. They're not arguing. They're speaking about different circumstances. The one who says that it's not pasul is a case where the lechem stayed on the shulchan. And that's from the pasuk of the lechem atamid, alaviyeh. The one who says it was pasul says that it was bimisulak. It was taken off the shulchan. Just like we saw over here, that when you dismantle the old moed, they call the shimer psulim, so too the lechem panim is pasul velo plige. And they don't argue. There's no machloket between them. They're just speaking about different circumstances. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says from this, Mamina, yesh siluk masa'ot balayla, that there has to be a movement of masa'ot at night. Di sakadatcha ain siluk masa'ot balayla, if you believe that the masa'ot didn't move at night, emat madli, then when would they have taken them off the shulchan? Where would this have been an issue? Letzafra, in the morning, ma'iria mishum yotzei. Why are you worried about yotzei? Typically, disulei belina. The problem is that they were left off the shulchan, or they're off the shulchan, belina. Belina meaning that they stayed overnight off of the location where they needed to be, or that the time period in which they needed to be eaten was one day and one night. If they finished off their night, then they're possible belina, forget about yotzei. What Abaye is pointing out is that if you can't travel at night, or if they didn't travel at night, then what is the issue of yotzei have to do with? There is an underlying assumption here, and Tosafot points it out. It's clear that Rashi, in his explanation, is saying something along these lines, because if they waited till the morning, emat midlu, when would they pull apart the klayim and the mishkan? In the morning. And since they would do it in the morning, you'd already be in violation of lina. So what the Balei Tosafot say is, the scenario that is being painted here is a case where they were eating kodoshim, let's say, during the daytime, and now they had zman to eat it of day and a night. Or the lechem apanim were taken off the shulchan on Shabbat, and they have day and night to eat them. So what Abaye says is, it has to be that they can travel at night, because if they don't travel at night, by the time you get to the next morning, you're already pasul belina, because kodoshim or kodshei kodoshim only have one day and one night to be eaten. So Abaye points out that if they didn't travel at night, this question would never become relevant, because you would have the whole day, that night, to eat it. And the fact that now you can't travel at night means that it's the next morning before you travel. That means you've already completed the day and night that you have. There's a very big assumption in that. That assumption is that they only traveled either at the beginning of the day or the beginning of the night. And you can see that a little bit hinted to in the Rabbeinu Gershom, where he says, the next morning when they start to travel, they didn't have enough time to bring the new korbanot, which implies that when they traveled, they only started early in the day or in the beginning of the day, not sometime in the middle of the day. What happens if 4 o'clock in the afternoon, all of a sudden the Anan gets up and starts to move? So now, you brought the korbanot that morning, and now you have something that's Yom V'Laila, and even if you started to travel during the day, there's no psul lina now. You could have a case or a scenario like this, where it's not a problem of lina, and it's still a problem of yotzei. Abaye assumes that they only either start traveling in the morning, or they start traveling at the beginning of the night. Because he makes an assumption that if they didn't travel at night, there would only be lina problems. Why is there only a lina problem? There's a possibility they traveled at noon the day before, and that would create the same problem. So the Balei Tosafot had already pointed that out, that he says, Tema, Dilma nafka mina eched denasu b'emsayom. Maybe they started traveling in the middle of the day. It says, V'nir lefaresh, dekaya plukta Rabbi Yochanan b'shum levi, dar b'lechem apanim. V'yava amrina, de b'shum pam lo yenusim elo o b'tzkilat yom, o b'tzkilat alayla, if you really believe that they only traveled either in the beginning of the day or the beginning of the night, then Abaye's solution makes sense. But otherwise it doesn't make sense. And therefore Tosafot jumps to something we saw in Rashi before and says that this must be that are speaking about the Lechem Apanim. And the Lechem Apanim, they're taken off on Shabbat, their Yom V'Laila is Shabbat and Motzei Shabbat. And clearly they didn't travel on Shabbat, which makes it the only time they would have traveled would be Motzei Shabbat. If that's the case, then Abaye's proof is really a proof. They must have traveled at night, otherwise this issue doesn't exist for the Lechem Apanim. So again, that assumes two things. It assumes that Rashi's explanation of what Misulak is the case where you took it off at the proper time, unlike the Rabbeinu Gershom says when it's a case where you took it off during any time you're traveling. That's number one. Number two is it assumes that the misulak that was taken off in Shabbat, you're only allowed to eat for Shabbat and Motzei Shabbat, which again is also not so clear that when the time period for eating the Lechem Apanim was. And then, third of all, Abaye's Diuk is based on the Lechem Apanim, and that's how you get to this conclusion that you're allowed to travel at night. And then, the other thing the Baal Tosfot point out is, Mar Mar Mesudar, Mar Mar Besulak Velo Plige, Maskana Deshmaita. The conclusion our sugi over here is, Delo Aminin Afal Pishnasa Omoedu. That we don't say, we don't invoke the principle that when you're traveling, it has a din of Omoed. So now, he says, I have a problem. We have in the end of Zvachim that it is Olmoid. And when they're traveling, it does work as Olmoid. How do I reconcile this sugya with the sugya in Zvachim? He says, no problem. Says that's about Kodshim Kalim. Kodshim Kalim are not Nifsal B'yotze when they travel. Because Machane Yisrael is still intact. And Kodshim Kalim can be eaten in Machane Yisrael. Says for Kodshei Kodashim, Omoid is broken down and it no longer exists. So it's Pasul. That's how we reconcile our Gemara here who says that Nasa Omoid doesn't work. Whereas Nasa Omoid works by Kodshim Kalim. He says that works really nicely for the Gemara in Zvachim Akuftet Zayin, Amud Bet. But if you remember, we dealt with this sugya back on Samach Aleph Amud Bet in Zvachim. And there, the Gemara says, basically, Gabe Kodshei Kodashim. And over there, the Gemara asks and deals with the situation of Kodshei Kodashim. So how do you reconcile that? It says, V'yish lamar dehotam mayri, that case, shenifras omoed, v'amizbeach, v'kalei achetzer omdim bimkomam. So it's a case where they already put up the omoed, and the mizbeach, and the kalei achetzer are intact. Meaning that the question of v'nasa omoed, when does it lose its status of omoed, says depends what is dismantled already. Over here, according to the Baal Tosfot, the case there in Zvachim is a case where everything's still intact, just that the machanot have started to move. So it's still called Omoed as long as the chatzair and everything's intact over there. But the only problem is Rashi over there, Perish, so he says it's when they've dismantled the whole outer area of the Mishkan, but the Mizbeach is still intact. And so for Rashi, in the Gemara in Zvachim, you're allowed to continue eating Kodoshim, at least Kodshei Kodashim, as long as the Mizbeach is still there, even though the old Moed has been dismantled. So Rashi says there in Zvachim, on Samach Aleph Amud Bet, that Kodshei Kodashim can be eaten when they are on the Mishkan and the old Moed, everything's intact, even though the Machaneh started to move, you can eat it then. Also you can eat it, even after they take away the Ohel and they take away everything else, but the Mizbeach is still there, it's still called old Moed if the Aron and the Mizbeach are still there. So that'd be the two cases where you can eat it. That would seemingly disagree with what we're saying over here, v'nasa omoed, which makes it sound like once the omoed moves, then there is no omoed anymore. Because Rashi is swayed by the fact that there is still mechitzot with regards to zavim and mitzoraim, so it's clear that the mechitzot are not the driving force for the psul of the kodshei kodashim over here, but rather it's tied into the mizbeach. Whereas the Baal Tosfot say that the zavim and mitzoraim only have influence when it comes to Kodshim Kalim with Machane Yisrael. But as far as determining what the status of Machane Shechina is, they don't have any influence over that. Just because they're Mechitzot for them, doesn't mean that it's classified as if they're Mechitzot for Kodshei Kodashim. Therefore, the Baal Tosfot believe that only in a case where the Ol Moed is still up, when the Klaim are still up. They don't believe that once the walls are taken down, once the curtains are taken down, that you can eat the Kodshei Kodashim over there. If the Klaim are gone and there's no Chatzar Ol Moed, the Kodshei Kodashim are Nifsalim, even if the Mizbeach is still in place. And that's how he reconciles again between this Gemara and that Gemara, by saying that once the Ol Moed moves, there is no more Mishkan. According to Rashi, even after the Ol Moed is gone, as long as the Mizbeach and the Aron are there, you're okay, and you can keep eating. Whereas for Tosafot, as soon as the Ol Moed is dismantled, it's gone, and that reconciles between the Gemara here and the Gemara in Zvachim. For Rashi, it almost seems like there is a machloket between the Gemara there and the Gemara here, as to when the Omoed loses its shame Omoed. Everybody agrees once you start moving it, then there's no Omoed. But the Gemara here seems to indicate once the oil is gone, it's also no Omoed. Whereas for Rashi, once the oil is gone, it's still okay as long as the Mizbeach and the Aron are still in place. So the Chiddush of Rashi is that the Gemara over there, V'nasa Omoed, means once the oil is gone, but the Moed is still there. Meaning that the Mizbeach and the Aron are there, you're okay still. Tosafot says, Omoed moves, the O moves, you're done, it's over. So he reconciles with the Gemara over here, and you see that when he says that, clear from our Gemara over here, that the maskana is that the Nesa'a Moed doesn't work. As soon as the Moed goes, it's gone. Rashi seems to learn the Gemara in Zvachim differently, and therefore he creates almost in a sense a machloket asugyot as to when is that defining point where the Omoid is no longer called an Omoid. Now the Gemara says, Shita, that which Abaye says over here, that they traveled at night, is very straightforward. And that's because, Lalechet Yomam Valaylaktiv. It says that they traveled during the day and during the night. So what's the question? Of course they traveled at night. No, they traveled day and night. It doesn't mean that they began traveling at night. What you might have thought is that they only began traveling during the day. Once they were in motion, they continued to travel during the night. But they never started traveling at night. You would have thought possibly that if they didn't start traveling during the day, they didn't start traveling at night. Kamash Malan, that's what Abaye is midayek. From this circumstance over here, that it's clear they traveled at night. And again, that is because of the Bali Tosfot say that it was a situation in which the Lechem Upanim were taken off on Shabbat. And then the only way for it to be possible that they have a problem with Siluk Masa'ot was if they traveled Motzei Shabbat, which means they traveled at night. And that's the proof that they started traveling at night. Firimini, we have a problem. Huglalu ha-parochet, once they roll up the parochet, Hutru ha-zavim u-mitzurim li-kanesham. Then the zavim and mitzurim could enter into the area. This goes against the bright that we saw before, which has said that even after you take the omoyed apart, the mitzurim and zavim still are sent out of the machaneh. Amravashi lokashon, Rabbi Eliezer, Arabonon, two different Tanaim, the Tanya. We have a bright that Rabbi Eliezer omer, yochol dachaku zavim u-mitzuraim. So here we have a situation in which you bring the Pesach bituma, which means that Rov B'nai Israel were tamei tumata mate on Pesach, Pesach Rishon, and we have a principle, ish nidchet the Pesach Sheni, but Sibor is not nidchet the Pesach Sheni. It means that the Pesach is babituma, that you've waived the problems of tumata mate, and you're allowed to bring the Korban HaPesach on the 14th of Nisan, even though the people are tmeim meitim. And so now, once that happens, the permission or the dispensation is only for people who are tamei tumat tameit, where they have external tuma that was conveyed to them. On the other hand, if you are a what's called tamei tumat yotzei migufo, where it's your own body that produced the tuma, like a zav and like a mitzora, you're not permitted to partake or to participate in the Korban Pesach. But Rabbi Eliezer says, despite the fact that the zavim and mitzoraim are not participating in the Korban HaPesach, nevertheless, if they push their way into the Azara, Yochol Yehu Chayavim, you would think maybe they should be Chayav, Tamad Lomar, V'yishalchu min ha-machaneh, Kol Tzarua, V'chol Zav, V'chol Tamei la-Nefesh. That it says that you have to send out of the machaneh. It says in Parshat Balotcha, where it's describing about the necessity to send Tmeim out of the machaneh, it says over there, you have to send out the Tzarua, the one who has Negaim et Tzorat, one who is a Zav, and one who is a Tamei Meit. B'shash, it's Tamei Meitim Mishtachim, Zavim Mutzarim Mishtachim. When the Tamei Meit is sent out, then so too are the Mitzoraim and Zavim sent out. Ain't Tamei Meitim Mishtachim, but when the Tamei Meitim are not sent out, ain't Zavim Mutzarim Mishtachim. So too, the Zavim and Mitzorim are not sent out, meaning that there is a hierarchy of parties over here. And each one of these parties has to be pushed out of their machaneh. But they're correlated. If one of them breaks down and they don't need to be sent down, then according to Rabbi Eliezer, they all break down and nobody has to be sent out at all. So again, for the chachamim, the questions are independent. The tamei meit, just because he can enter when has a special dispensation, has no bearing or impact on the zavim and mitzoraim. And therefore, they're the authors of the braita that says, when the olmoed is moving, even though the Machaneh Shechinah is now broken down, and there's only now a Machaneh Leviyah, and a Machaneh Yisrael, and Tmei Meitim are allowed to go freely in either of those areas, that's Tmei Meit. But the Mitzorim and the Zavim still have the exact same status, and have to be sent out of Machaneh Leviyah and Machaneh Yisrael respectively. And similarly, by Pesach, Abad Tumah, they're not allowed to enter into the Azara, they're not allowed to enter into these areas because they are Tmeim. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, says there's a correlation between them. If there's a breakdown, then that breakdown will allow not only the Tamei Metim to enter, it means that the Mitzoraim and the Zavim also now no longer have restrictions because of that correlation. Therefore, in the Midbar, where the Machane Shekhina is now dismantled, therefore, since the Tamei Metim aren't sent out of anything, the Zavim and Mitzoraim also don't need to be sent out. And by the Pesach Haba B'tumah, because the Tamei Metim are allowed to enter into the Azara, so too the Mitzoraim and Zavim are not sent out, and they can enter into the Azara. Now the proof is a little bit interesting because Rabbi Eliezer says, Yechol Dachaku, if they push their way in, which makes it sound like it's Bidiavad, that in Yerushalayim, when this happened, Bidiavad, Rabbi Eliezer says that the Mitzoraim and the Zavim don't get a punishment. But the Chatchila, we wouldn't let them enter. On the other hand, the Braita that says that Mitzoraim and Zavim can enter Machane Leviyah and Machane Yisrael in the Midbar, sounds like it's Lechatchila. So how are we learning from Rabbi Eliezer, who has a Din Bidiavad, to a Braita that says it's Lechatchila? So you have to say that why it's only Bidiavad by the case of the Korban HaPesach is, because by Korban HaPesach, the dispensation is not a broad dispensation. It's only a dispensation to do the Pesach B'Tumah. It doesn't give you rights to enter the Azara for any other reason besides the Korban HaPesach. And so therefore, the dispensation to Tamei Metim is only for Korban HaPesach. And the Zavim and Mitzoraim are not doing the Korban HaPesach, then Lechatchila, they shouldn't be entering into the Azara. Okay, Bidiavad, if they enter, they're not going to get punished because the Tamei Met is not sent out. But nevertheless, it's only a Bidiavad situation. In the case of Midbar, where the Machane Shnei Kina is dismantled completely, over there, you can argue that even the Chatzila, the Mitzoraim and the Zavim can enter into the area. The other thing is the question of what is the driving force behind Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that the allowance for the Tamei Metim to enter into the Machane Shekhina is what then precipitates the ability of the Mitzoraim and Zavim to enter into the other Machanot? And therefore, when Machane Shekhina is abrogated, then everything else collapses. Or do we say that if any one of the Machanot collapses, then there's no restrictions? So based on what he says here, that there's a correlation between them, that would suggest that if any one of the Machanot was broken down, then all restrictions would fall away because of the fact that there is a correlation between them. And if any one of them is not sent out, then the others don't need to be sent out. From that, it would indicate that if any one of the Machanot was dismantled somehow or was not intact, then all the other people would be allowed to enter. That's one way you could read it. Or you could read it that it's very particular to Machane Shekhina. And that makes sense in some way because the Kedushat Machane Leviyah and the Kedushat Machane Yisrael is a derivative of the fact that there is a Machane Shekhina. Because the Aron and the Mishkan sits in the Machane, in the middle of the Machane, Kedusha emanates from there and gives the areas that encircle it Kedusha. So therefore, if Machane Shekhina is broken down, then everything else breaks down. Not that if anything breaks down, everything breaks down. It's only if Machane Shekhina breaks down. And that's why the example by Pesach is the Pesach Baba Tumah, where they're entering into the Azara, which is the Machane Shekhina. And in the Midbar also, the Machane Shekhina is what's dismantled. There's no longer a Machane Shekhina. So therefore, it may be correlated only with the Machane Shekhina. That's the view of Rabbi Eliezer. And when you abrogate that, then everything else falls away. Or you could read it that it has to do with any of the Machanot. They're all correlated. And if you eliminate any one of them, then all of them then fall apart. So that's two different ways to read Rabbi Eliezer, and obviously has nafka minot as to when the din of Rabbi Eliezer applies. Okay, now the next Mishnah continues to discuss the preparations of the Shtei Lechem and the Lechem HaPanim. Three opinions in the Tanaim. Achat Shtei Lechem, Achat Lechem HaPanim, Lishatam V'arichatam Bachutz V'afiyatam Bifnim. So the Tana Kamo believes, when it comes to the Shtei Lechem and the Lechem HaPanim, Lisha, the kneading, preparation of them, Arichatam, the basting and the setting up of them on the platters, all done bichutz, is done outside of the Migdash. Afiyatam, the baking of them is done bifnim, in the Migdash. Ve'enan dochot et ha-shabbat. And they're not dochet et ha-shabbat. And we're going to see that's going to really present the problem in the Gemara as to how to reconcile that issue. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol ma'asehem bifnim. Everything has to be done inside or internally. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lola mavi ragil omar, you should frequently say, shtei lechem velechem apanim, ksherot ba'azara. They're kasher in the azara, uksherot bebeit pagi. And they're also ksherot bebeit pagi. We already saw back on Daf Samechimo Amar Aleph, where the Gemara discussed bebeit pagi different explanations as to what Beit Pagi was, whether that's just a place outside the Azara, like Rashi says over there. The Shita Mekubetzet said that it's not actually a location, but anything that protrudes outward from a wall is called Pagi. And that was like Pagi Teina, which means like something that protrudes out or sticks out. Or a tower or a location on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. Or it was an additional section of Yerushalayim, the furthest point out on the walls of Yerushalayim. But what Rabbi Shimon is saying is, it doesn't matter where you make it. It doesn't need to be done in the Azara, not the preparation, not, as Rashi says over here, the baking of it. Because Savar Afiatam Nami Bachutz. That he thinks that even the Afiyah can be done outside of the Azara. Now, the statement back on the Gemara in Sama Gimel Man Aleph, Rashi says, Chutz Lamot Azara. You can even take them outside the Chumata Azara. From the Gemara back on Sama Gimel Man Aleph and Rashi back there, it's not clear that you can bake them outside. It just says that the Tanur of the Migdash is not Mekadesh them. So that means they can be taken out afterwards, even though they were baked in the Migdash. On the other hand, Rashi over here in our Mishnah says that not only can they be taken out, but you can even bake them outside. And as Rabbi Akiva Iger points out, that somewhat undermines Rashi's position back there, because Rashi says over there, how do you know that the Tanur is not Mekadesh? Because of the fact that you can take it outside, even though it was baked inside the Azara. But if in the first place you could bake it outside, then it's no surprise that the Tanur is not Mekadesh, because the Tanur is not in the Mikdash. So therefore, the Rabbi Akiva Iger thinks that Rashi's explanation of the Gemara there, back on Samach Gimel, isn't correct. And he says that Rashi's explanation over here is correct, but the reasoning of the Gemara back there, which shows that the Tanur is not Mekadesh, is because if you're allowed to bake it outside of the Mikdash, that means that it's not Dochet the Shabbat, because you can just do it outside the Mikdash. But then it says that there's no difference between outside the Mikdash and inside the Mikdash. But if the Tanur is Mekadesh, you would not be able to do that inside the Mikdash, because then it becomes Pasul Lina if you did it on Erev Shabbat. So the fact that you can do it outside means it's not Doche Shabbat. If it's not Doche Shabbat, and you can also bake them inside, the only way you can bake them inside is if the Tanur is not Mekadesh, so that it won't be a Psul Lina. And through that, you can prove that the Tanur is not Mekadesh. And that's how the Gemara back on Samach Gimel uses Rabbi Shimon's statement in the Mishnah to prove that point. Not like what Rashi says back on Samach Gimel. So now the Gemara says, Hagufa Kasha. We have an eternal stira in the Mishnah. Amart, Lishatan Varchatan Bachutz. You told me that you could do the Lisha and the Aricha Bachutz. Alma Midat Yavesh Lo Nitkadsha. The dry measures then were not Kadosh. Because here you're dealing with flour and you're measuring out flour. That means that the Midat Yavesh, when you're measuring out the Esronim that you need for it, that measure is not Mekadesh, that which is inside of it. And that's why you can take it out. And as Rashi notes over here, because had they been Nitkadesh, then they'd be Pasul B'Yotzei. And therefore, it must be that they're not Nitkadesh. Tosfot over here makes the same point he makes earlier on in the Masechta, which is he doesn't believe that once you're Kadosh with Kli Sharet, that there is a Psul of Yotzei, but rather it's just inappropriate. But because of either one of those reasons, it must be that the Kli Sharet were not Nitkadesh, otherwise how can you be doing the Melisha Naricha Michutz Tazara? V'afiyatan Bifnim. But then the Tanakhama requires that it be baked internally. Alma midat yavesh nitkacha. That's a dry measure, meaning the tanur is a kli of the mikdash. And over there you're saying it has to be done internally, implies that it is mikadesh, the items. So amar rabo, or the Shita Mekubetzet says amar rabo, hiksha adam kasheh, shu kasheh kevarzel, a very solid and hard man, who's hard like iron, asked this question and was bothered by this question, couldn't come up with an answer. Umanu Rav Sheshet, and that is Rav Sheshet. As the Bali Tosafot say over here, Shevachu l'tamidei chachamim. That when he say that he's hard as a piece of iron, that is a compliment and not some sort of derogatory or denigrating statement towards the Amora. And that's what he says over here, because Kedamar beper kamet tanit, kol tamid chacham shenu kashik rezel, enu tamid chacham. Any tamid chacham is not as hard as iron, isn't really a tamid chacham. So they're saying this, seeing this in a positive light, not in a negative light. And that Rava or Rava is complimenting the tremendous erudition of Rav Sheshet and his being very forceful and strong-minded and powerful in his psak, in his Limud HaTorah. And despite that, he was unable to come up with a solution to this problem. Where it says, my kasha, Why is there no solution to the problem? Dilma Isaron lo mikadesh, tanur mikadesh. All you have to do is say that the Isaron wasn't sanctified in the way that it will be mikadesh other items. That's not a klisha rate that'll be mikadesh. Whereas the tanur is a klisha rate that will be mikadesh. Very easy. The status of the tanur is different than the status of the kli Isaron. Ela ikasha hakasha. That's not the question that's unresolvable. Rather, this is the unresolvable problem in our Mishnah. Ve'afiyatam bifnim. It says here that you have to bake them inside the azara. Alma tanur mikadesh. That says that the tanur is mikadesh de lechem. Ve'enon dochot et ha-shabbat. But they're not dochet shabbat. So that means you can't bake them on Shabbat. You have to bake them on Erev Shabbat. Ifsala belina. If you bake them on Erev Shabbat, they're going to become pasul lina. So here there's a stirrer and a contradiction in the Tanakhama's position. He says you have to bake them inside the Azara, which implies that the tanur is mikadesh the item, and therefore once it's put into the tanur, it can no longer be taken out of the Azara. It says a psul yotze and a psul lina, which means that once it's kadosh, you can't leave it overnight, and you can't take it out of the Azara. Rashi thinks that that's halachically true, you can't take it out of the Azara. The Baal Tosafot says it's just not proper to take it out of the Azara. Because once it's kadosh, you shouldn't take it to a makom chol or put it into a clay chol. But nevertheless, lina definitely applies. And once something is kadosh, it cannot be left overnight. You bake them on Friday, and then you leave them overnight Friday night to Shabbat morning when you're going to put them on the shulchan, they're ready pasul b'lina. They would need kadesh in the oven on Friday. Tell me that you don't have to bake them in the oven of the mikdash, but that's what he just said. You have to do the bifnim in the azara in the tanur of mikdash. So there's a stira. Normally, we believe if tanur is mikdash, then the lechem panim are duches Shabbat, because the only way to bake them is in the Azara, and you have to do it on the day that they are going to be used, otherwise they're going to be psul lina. And so therefore there should be a correlation between tanur mikadesh and the fact that the baking of the lechem panim is duches Shabbat. Amar Rava, and that's why the Shittim Mikubetz changed the previous statement to Amar Rava, Iksha Adam Kasheh Shehu Kasheh Bezel. This question puzzled or was raised by someone who was hard as iron, Umanu Rav Sheshet, and there was no answer to the question. He couldn't come up with any answer. I'm Rav Ashi, my kushya. Rav Ashi says, what's the question? I have a solution to the problem. Dilma maybe bifnim bimakom zrizim. What does it mean, bifnim? Bifnim doesn't mean literally in the Azara. Bifnim means in a place where you have the same features as in the Azara. The feature of the Azara is zrizim. Kohanim zrizim heim. That the Kohanim are taking care of it. The Kohanim make sure that the Lechem Panim don't become chametz because they're very zariz with it. And so when the requirement over here means mibifnim, doesn't mean you literally have to bake them in the oven in the Azara. You just have to simulate the environment that is mibifnim, the Azara. In the Azara, it's all Kohanim. And so too, when you bake them outside, you just need a place where they're Kohanim who are zrizim hei. Bahad Ravashi brutahi. That which Ravashi says is loosely translated, a joke, is not a real answer. It's not something that we can buy into. Manafshach. Because you'd have to say one way or the other. If baking it requires zizim in order to ensure that it doesn't become chametz, lisha varicha nami binan zizim. Then the kneading and the setting up of it should also require zizim. There's just as much risk of it becoming chametz in the early stages as it is in the case of the afiyah. So if you require kohanim for the afiyah, you should require it for the lisha and the aricha. Lisha aricha lo beinan zrizim. If the kneading and the early stages don't require kohanim, afiyah nami lo beinan zrizim, then why should you need kohanim for the baking? I mean, if the issue here is that you want the people that of the azara dealing with it, then the din should be the same across the board with all the preparations. Lisha aricha and afiyah. The fact that the Tanakhama differentiates between Lisha and Aricha and Afiyah shows you that that's not the interest here. The interest here is whether the Kli is Kadosh or not Kadosh. And if the Kli Tanur is Kadosh and the Kli Yavesh are not Kadosh, then it means that you have to do it in the Azara when it comes to baking. The Lisha and Aricha can be done outside, but the baking has to be done inside. Once it has to be done inside, it means the Tanur is Mikadesh. The Tanur is Mikadesh. It should be Dochet HaShabbat. In fact, it does it Dochet HaShabbat is an internal stira. Oh, the Ravashi Brutai. Ravashi's solution is not a real solution. And that means now we have a problem in the Mishnah that's unresolvable. And what Tosfot says is, the conclusion is, Tavra, Mishishana Zo, Loshanazo, that the Mishnah is really a dual authorship. Whoever made the statement that the Tanur is Mekadesh and has to be done Bifnim is not the one who made the statement in the Mishnah that it's not Tochet HaShabbat. Because those are irreconcilable positions. And therefore, Tavar Mishnah Shanazu, Loshanazu, there are two authors to these positions in the Mishnah, which in essence means we're not going to paskin that way. But you look in the Rambam, and he paskins like both of these statements. He paskins that Tanur is Mekadesh and the breads have to be baked internally. But he says it's not Tochet HaShabbat. So he takes up exactly what's the irreconcilable position here and says that's the halacha. So you have to say for the Rambam that there are stages of Kiddusha. And that is because the argument of the Tanaim and the Mishnah is when do the breads become kadosh? According to Rabbi Yehuda, breads become kadosh as soon as you put them into the clay sharet to measure the isaron, that's when they become kadosh, and that's why everything has to be done inside. According to Rabbi Shimon, nothing has to be done in the Azarah because they don't become kadosh until you shech the kivsei atzeret for the shtei lechem, or you put them on the shulchan for the lechem apanim. Since that's the point of kedusha, everything before there can be done outside the Azarah. The Tana Kama says the tanur is mikadesh, but the klei sharet are not mikadesh. So what you see here is that there are different stages of kedusha that impact on the items. And that is that you have kedusha that is imparted when it's put into a klei sharet. You have a kedusha that's imparted when the tanur is mikadesh, and then once the kivsei atzeret are shechted, or they put lechem panim on the shulchan, there's another level of kedusha. And what you have to argue is that the Rambam believes that that is a hierarchy in kedusha. There are actually three different levels of kedusha. Once they're put into a klei sharet, they now cannot be redeemed because they have a certain level of kedusha taguf. And if they become chametz, it would be problematic. But there's still no psul of yotzei, there's no psul of lina. They're not kadosh, even to be pasul b'tvul yom, or by mechutzer kippurim, because they can be done or processed outside the azara. Then, once they're baked in the tanur, which is this upgraded level of kedusha, then they take on the status where they become psul b'tvul yom and mechutzer kippurim, but they're still not pasul b'lina. And even yotzei, maybe they're not pasul b'yotzei, they are maybe, like Balei Tosfot would say, inappropriate to take them out, but not necessarily pasul b'yotzei. And then there's a third level of kedusha, which is once they're either put on the shulchan for the lechem apanim, or the shech, the kivsei atzeret for the shtei lechem, then they're nitkadesh, another level, which then makes them pasul b'lina, pasul yotzei. All of those factors then kick in at that last stage of kedusha. And that's how the Chazon Ish explains the Rambam's seemingly inconsistent view as to the fact that the Tanur is Mikadesh, yet it's still not Tochet HaShabbat. Although the Sfat Emet just says that that is a halacha l'moshe misinai, that despite the fact that the Tanur is Mikadesh, nevertheless, there is no psulina associated with them and they can't be left until the next day. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol ma'aseihem bifnim. All of it is done internally. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Bar Kana, Ushneim Mikra Echad Darshu. Machloka between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah comes from a posuk in Shmuel Aleph. When David HaMelech is running away from Shaul, he is starving, he has nothing to eat, and he comes to Nov Ir HaKohanim, and he asks the Kohanim for something to eat. And the Kohanim say they have no food available, except for the Lechem HaKodesh. And they now give it to David to eat. Sukim there say, V'yana Kohen to David. David says, do you have some bread? Maybe 5 loaves of bread that we could take. And Vayana Kohen to David, Vayomarin Lechem Chol El Tachat Yadi. I have no non-sanctified bread. Kiyam Lechem Kodesh, Yesh Im Nismru Ha'Ne'arim Ach Mi'isha. That I have Lechem Kodesh as long as the young men that are with you do not cohabitate with women. Vayana David Et Lekohen Vayomarin Kiyam Isha Tzura Lanu Kidmo Shushom B'Tzeiti. He says that we haven't had women in the Machaneh for some time. You klei anarim kodesh, and therefore the klei anarim are kodesh. Who derechol apki ayom mikdash bekeli. For David says that whenever I go out on a mission, even if it's just for mundane matters, we make sure that the vessels of the men are sanctified, consecrated. And then certainly on a day like today, where we're desperate for food, can the consecrated bread be put into their kelim? Who derechol apki ayom mikdash bekeli. So here you have this phrase, which is somewhat cryptic. And the Gemara is trying to explain, what is that David's replying to the Kohen? Rabbi Yehuda Sabar, Bechol Ashkechinu. He bumped into them on a weekday. The Ka'apule, and they were baking in them. Amalo, Derechol Ka'fitule? He says, you are baking them in a way that is chol, Afki Ayom Yikadesh Bekli, even though today they are going to be sanctified in the Kli, Ifsule Belina, they're going to become Pasul Belina. Meaning that David HaMelech is criticizing the Kohanim and saying, it's a weekday, meaning Friday, and you're baking the Lechem Apanim, that's going to make it Pasul Belina. And if that's the case, they're Nitkadesh beforehand. And that's what David is saying to the Kohanim. How could you bake it today? You need to be baking it on Shabbat, not today. And that's the source of Rabbi Yehuda's position, that they are Nitkadesh. And therefore, you need to do it on Shabbat, and you have to do it in the Azara. Rabbi Shimon Sabar, B'Shabbat Ashkechinu, Duka Apule. David found them baking the Lechem HaPanim on Shabbat. Amalo, lo derechol be'itul me'avdei? He says, wait a minute, why didn't you do this on a weekday? Why are you doing this on Shabbat? Midei tanur mikadesh? Shulchanu de mikadesh. The tanur is not mikadesh, the lechem, it's the shulchan is mikadesh. If that's the case, you should be baking them on the weekday, on Friday. So depending on when he finds them and criticizes them, what is the criticism? So if he found them on a weekday baking them, the criticism is that why are you baking on a weekday, not on Shabbat? So that would be Rabbi Yehuda's position, that you do have to bake them on Shabbat, and the tanur is mikadesh. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon's position, he found them on Shabbat, and said, why are you baking today? You should have been baking yesterday, which implies that the tanur is not mikadesh them. It's only the shulchan that's mikadesh them. Where it says, mi matzid amar b'shata piya ashkechino? You're telling me that that pasuk is speaking about a case where he found them baking them? Vaktiv. And then in the subsequent pasuk it says, v'yitein lo akoyin kodesh, k'lo yasham lachem kiim lachem apanim, amusarim lifnei Hashem, asum lachem chom b'yom hilakcho. And so the Kohen gave him the consecrated bread, the Lechem HaKodesh, because there was no other Lechem there except the breads that came off of the Shulchan, the Lechem HaPanim, which had been removed before Hashem, because as soon as they remove it before Hashem, they place it with new hot bread for that week, although Chazal learned it the other way around, that the bread that came off was as hot as it went on, but either way, we're speaking about a case where it's coming off the Shulchan, and not in a case where he's bumping into them where they're baking the bread. But either way, they already made it to the Shulchan. And even Rabbi Shimon agrees, once they get to the Shulchan, they're definitely Kadosh. So my Derechol, Dukam Marlohu. So then what is David saying about Derechol? Hachi Kamarule. Lecha Lechem, Kim Lechem Apanim, Musarim Lifnei Hashem. The only Lechem that's available is the Lechem that is on the Shulchan. So Amarlohu, he says to them, Lo Yivayihai. The Kaman the Nafik Lay Mimila Derechohu. He says, I can definitely eat that Lechem HaPanim because it's already off the Shulchan. Once it's off the Shulchan, it's now Mutar LeKohanim. Anything that has Heter LeKohanim no longer has a Din Mi'ila, and you're not misappropriating Hektesh. You're not supposed to be eating them, they belong to the Kohanim, but the Din Mi'ila definitely disappeared. So David says, I don't even need you to take them off the Shulchan in order for me to eat them, because then the Din of Mi'ila disappears. Even if today they were put on the Shulchan, give them to me to eat, because he is deathly ill or in need. He's starving, but starving to the point what Rashi calls bulmus. Bulmus is a state that is mentioned by the Mishnayot in the last parak of Yoma, when someone is fasting in Yom Kippur, and then is overtaken by extreme hunger. And that extreme hunger can only be placated by eating enough till the person comes back to themselves. It's not enough just to eat what would normally give a person enough health. It's something that you need to get back to your former status. And we allow on Yom Kippur them to eat as much as they can, because otherwise bulmus overtakes the person and they'll die from it. When it comes to sakanat nefashot, none of the dinim of the Torah are only bifnei sakanat nefashot, except for the three cardinal sins. And therefore, in this case for certain, we can take that lechem that is kadosh. So Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, b'gemara pligay. Well, if that's the case, then there's nothing to discuss here. Because it's a horat sha'ah, because he was misukan. And any time we have something where a person is deathly ill, you can violate any of the isurim in the Torah. And that's what's being said here. David said to them, oh, you just took the lechem upon him off. A no problem mi'ilah. Forget about the no problem of mi'ilah. Even if they were on the shulchan and you just put them on the shulchan, give them to me because they are considered like chol to me because I am misukan, I have bulmus. So then, what's the machloket Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon? Gemara plegei. They argue in Misora. Dekanami. It makes sense that they're arguing about a Misora. Diktani, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Olam habi ragil lomar. You should have this phrase on your lips, meaning that you should be ragil to say, Shtei lechem lechem panim, kshirot bazara, ukshirot abei pagei, shmamina. It's clear that he's repeating some sort of phraseology that he had a Misora about. You should say this. This will remind you about what the halacha is that both that which is in the Azara and Beit Pagi, there's no difference or no differentiation between them. That's clearly a type of Misora that he's getting. It's not something where he's saying, I learned it from some source. He's not bringing you a source. He's not bringing you a pasuk. He's saying, this is what you should say. This is the Misora that I have, that these two places are interchangeable. All right, going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Tzadivavah Medavah.